हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Krishna, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter number 6 and text 38. Atmano vasito vatsa mahima kavinadina संवत्सर सहस्रांते धिया योग विपक्खया आत्मनो वसितो वत्स महिमा कविनादिना संवत्सर सहस्रांते धिया योग विपक्कया आत्मनो वसितो वत्स महिमा कविनादिना संवत्सर सहस्रांते धिया योग विपक्कया आत्मनो वसितो वत्स महिमा कविनादिना संवत्सर सहस्रांते धिया योग विपक्कया आत्मनो वसितो वत्स आत्मनो वसितो वत्स महिमा कविनादिना संवत्सर सहस्रांते यो विपक्कया वसितो वत्स आत्मनो वसितो वत्स महिमा कविनादिना संवत्सर सहस्रांते धिया योग विपक्कया माताजी आत्मनो वसितो वत्स महिमा कविनादिना आत्मनो वसितो वत्स महिमा कविनादिना संवत्सर सहस्रांते धिया योग विपक्कया आत्मनः ऑफ द सुप्रीम सोल अवसितः नोन वत्स Oh, my dear son, Mahima, glories, Kavina, by the poet Brahma, Adina, original, Samvatsara, celestial, years, Sahasrante, at the end of 1,000, Dhiya, by intelligence, Yoga Vipakkaya, by matured meditation. Translation and purport by Abhay Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The translation, O my son, the original poet Brahma, after mature meditation for 1,000 celestial years, could know only that the glories of the Supreme Soul are inconceivable. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are some froggish philosophers who want to know the Supreme Soul by means of philosophy and mental speculation. And when the devotees who are to some extent in knowledge of the Supreme Lord admit that the glories of the Lord are inestimable or inconceivable, the froggish philosophers adversely criticized them. These philosophers, like the frog in the well, who tried to estimate the measurement of the Pacific Ocean, like to take trouble over fruitless mental speculation instead of taking instructions from devotees like the original poet, namely Brahma. Lord Brahma underwent a severe type of meditation for 1,000 celestial years, yet he said that the glories of the Lord are inconceivable. Therefore, what can the froggish philosophers hope to gain from their mental speculations? It is said in the Brahma Samhita that the mental speculator may fly through the sky of speculation with the velocity of the mind or the wind for thousands of millions of years, and still he will not find it inconceivable. The devotees, however, do not waste time in such vain searching after knowledge of the Supreme, but they submissively hear the glories of the Lord from bona fide devotees. Thus, they transcendentally enjoy the process of hearing and chanting. The Lord approves of the devotional activities of the devotees or Mahatmas, and he says, Mahatmanastumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita bhajantyananya manaso jnatva bhutadim avyayam satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha drada vrataha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. This Bhagavad Gita 9:13 and 14. The pure devotees of the Lord take shelter of the para prakriti, the internal potency of the Lord, called Lakshmi Devi, Sita Devi, Srimati Radharani, or Srimati Rukmini Devi. Jai. And thus they become actual Mahatmas or great souls. Mahatmas are not fond of indulging in mental speculations, but they actually take to the devotional service of the Lord without the slightest deviation. Devotional service is manifested by the primary process of hearing and chanting about the activities of the Lord. This transcendental method practiced by the Mahatmas gives them sufficient knowledge of the Lord, because if the Lord can at all be known to some extent, it is only through the means of devotional service and no other way. One may go on speculating and waste the valuable time of his human life, but that will not help anyone to enter into the precincts of the Lord. The Mahatmas, however, are not concerned with knowing the Lord by mental speculation, because they enjoy hearing about his glorious activities in his transcendental dealings with his devotees or with the demons. The devotees take pleasure in both and are happy in this life and the life after.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Bharjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsa Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. Offering my humble obeisances to all the devotees present here, we begin the explanation of this beautiful verse that basically talks about how Krishna is inconceivable. God is ultimately inconceivable, unlimited,
And however one may try to understand God, however many years you may spend, but you will never get to the end where you can say that now I know Krishna all in all. I know Krishna completely. Nobody can say that. No devotee can say that. Not just us ordinary devotees, but even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they're constantly trying to know more and more and more about the glories of Krishna. What to speak of these devotees? Even further, in the Vaikuntha Loka also, the devotees are only completely awestruck, knowing by the magnanimity of the Lord, even without going further than the magnanimity. If you go still upper planets, you see the devotees in the Dwarka, in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, they are also still trying to understand Krishna's merciful and loving nature, because there is no end to it. Here we see that in today's verse, Atmano vasito vatsa mahima kavinadina samvatsara sahasrante dhyayoga vipakkaya. Oh my son, the original poet Brahma, after mature meditation for 1,000 celestial years, could know only that the glories of the Supreme Soul are inconceivable. Looks like Lord Brahma wasted 100 celestial years. Because after such meditation, because he sat down for meditation with an intention and with a resolution that, okay, I'm going to know God in full and I'll do whatever it takes. So he sat down for meditation for 100 celestial years. And at the end of the meditation, he realized that it's impossible to know Krishna. So some foolish materialistic person will say that, hey, Brahma, you could have gone to so many pubs, you could have drank so much of, you know, alcohol, you would have had so much of a party, you could have enjoyed so much in the material world, rather you wasted 100 years, and ultimately you say that Krishna cannot be known. So what was the use of all this meditation? Srila Prabhupada, he explains how devotee takes pleasure only in knowing Krishna. Even though we may not fully know Krishna, but to whatever extent we understand the glories of Krishna, to whatever extent we can figure out the Supreme Personality greatness, to that extent we derive the spiritual bliss. There was one time one person who came to Prabhupada and he said that, Swamiji, you and your so many of young disciples, you don't drink tea, coffee, no alcohol, there's no illicit sex, no gambling, and no meat eating. So many strict rules you follow, and you are living such an austere life. What if at the end of the life, at the time of death, you realize that there is no God, and all the scriptures are just speculation, or it's all false? What if you realize at the time of death that everything is a false? Srila Prabhupada was listening very patiently. Srila Prabhupada said, what about you? What if after performing so many sinful activities practically every day, at the time of your death, you realize God does exist, that Krishna is there, and all the scriptures are true? Then what about you? Because now your next life is hellish life. And Prabhupada said that for us, it doesn't matter, we don't care, because in any case, devotees have lived a happy life. Devotees are clean, devotees wake up early, and the first thing they do is have a nice party. First thing we do is we jump and dance in ecstasy. We sing. And the people, you know, in our neighborhood areas, in the temples, they wonder, what's wrong with these people? it's time to sleep and these people are having a party, like such a loud and nice kirtan, and they are so happy. Who can become so happy at the so early hours of the morning? But Prabhupada said, anyways, we have eaten so much nice prasadam. We have enjoyed our life. So anyways, even at the time of death, even if, you know, we say, if somebody comes to realization that, oh, there is nothing, there is no God or there is nothing like the scripture, still the devotee has lived a happy life. But on the other hand, the materialistic person who has done so much of sins at the time of death, he is in big trouble. Because that's what Prabhupada mentions in the last line. The devotees take pleasure in both and are happy in this life and the life after. Actually, the next life of the devotee is in Vaikuntha, in spiritual world. So the devotee is completely happy, is well taken care in this life and in the next life too. So there is always these two groups. The materialistic people think devotees are crazy. And the devotees, always in our scriptures, we see that the materialistic people, they are crazy because they are trying to enjoy their senses. The senses are limited. The material enjoyment is limited. And still they are foolishly trying to enjoy the so-called material energy in vain. And whereas this bogies, the materialistic people think that devotees are wasting the time. So whom to believe? You will say that they both have a point. They both are saying the other party is crazy. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example and he says, whom to trust? Whose opinion matters the most in these two groups? Srila Prabhupada says that the opinion of the devotees matters the most. Why? Because the devotees have the experience of both. Because before being the devotees, some of us, or most of us, were materialistic people. We have the experience of material enjoyment. And then seeing the both worlds, devotees are saying that, okay, out of these two worlds, the world of the devotees is better. Whereas the materialistic person, they don't have experience of Krishna's bhakti. Without living the life of Krishna consciousness, they are criticizing. They don't know the two worlds. So our suggestion and request to all those is, first you join the process of Krishna consciousness. First you start coming to the temple. And then when you actually see the process, when you go through the process, then you can be in a position to make that opinion. So here we coming to the point, Krishna's energies are unlimited. His personality, his mercy aspect, all his great qualities are unlimited. In Gajendra Stotra, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Gajendra is explaining this point very clearly. Ekantino yasya nakanchanartham vanchanti eva ye bhagavat prapannaha atyadbhutam tat charitam sumangalam gayantam ananda samudra magnaah tamaksharam brahma paramparesham avyaktam adhyatmika yoga gamyam atindriyam sukshmam ivati duram anantam adyam paripuranam ide. So Gajendra is praying to Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu. He's saying that, oh my dear Lord, your pure devotees, they have no material desires. And because of this, they are constantly swimming in the ocean of bliss, of spiritual bliss. And your glories are infinite, unlimited. Tam aksharam brahma paramparesham. You are the greatest personality among all the great personalities. You are eternal. You are not to be understood by the material senses. Avyaktam. You cannot be known by the material mind or intelligence or the material senses. You are beyond these. But adhyatmika yoga gamyam. If someone surrenders unto you, if someone takes to the process of devotional service, by this adhyatmika yoga, you can be achieved, then you can be very easily attracted. Atindriyam, you are beyond the senses. Atindriyam, sukshmam, because you are very subtle. You are subtler than the subtlest thing. So how can anyone perceive you? Eva atiduram, you are so much far, far away. But when a devotee has fallen in love with you, then the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is supposed to be atiduram, who is far, far away, who is in the spiritual world, in his abode, he becomes closer than the closest person to you. He is residing in your heart. So he says, Ananta Madhyam Paripuranam Ide. How can I understand you? You are Ananta. You are unlimited. At the same time, you are the origin of everything. Oh, my dear Lord, I can only surrender unto you. I cannot understand you. So, Gajendra, he is explaining very nicely that the pure devotees of Krishna, they are only interested in glorifying Krishna. They are actually swimming in the ocean of bliss. Krishna's one of the names is Prema Sagar. So he is like an ocean of love. So in that ocean, if you go to ocean, you know, is there any possibility that you can tell that what's the width of the ocean or what is the depth of the ocean? There is no possibility. But still the swimmers and the surfers, they don't care. They are just having fun in that ocean. So that's what Gajendra is saying. Your pure devotees, because they have no material desire, they are happily drowning in the ocean of that eternal love, eternal bliss. So he says that Krishna is also like that. Krishna, because he is inconceivable, actually, Prabodhananda Saraswati, he mentions this point as well. He says, because Krishna is inconceivable, it gives rise to unlimited possibilities, unlimited adventures. Because, for example, if there is a couple who falls in love, if a boy falls in love with a girl, and they're in so much love, you know, because it's novelty, you know. In the material world, the material love, it starts with the summer and fails by the fall. You know, they say that love at first sight, divorce at first fight. This is material love. But still, if you see that the boy and the girl, they fall in love and so much happiness, because they are trying to find out about each other. There's so much novelty. And then they get married, and over the years, that excitement is lost. That novelty is gone. Unless the couple makes it always, you know, the relationship very adventurous, if there is always surprises, you know, if there are different ways in which the couple is still creating adventures, and there are, you know, so many surprises in the relationship. So in the same way, the relationship between the devotees and Krishna, because Krishna is inconceivable, actually it gives rise to unlimited possibilities. For example, in the Vrindavan, when Krishna would go for the Gocharan Leela, he would go for herding the cows, all his cowherd friends, they are also getting ready in the morning, early morning hours. So for Mangal Arati, we come here and we chant for the deities. The scene in Vrindavan is that all the cowherd boys, they are so excited that there are butterflies in their stomach. They're like, couldn't contain. They cannot contain their excitement. And their mothers are saying that, wait, I'm not done yet. I have to pack your tiffin. Okay, no more running. They want to run to Krishna's house. They don't want to stay in the house. And the mothers are having a difficult time just to get them ready. Once they're ready, the child is already running. The mother has to chase, wait, your tiffin, you have to take the tiffin. Prabodhananda Saraswati. So he tells that they're so much excited because they're telling their mothers that we're so excited to know what is going to happen today. Because Krishna killed Bakasura yesterday. Oh, mother, you don't know how beautiful it was. It was a gigantic duck that came out, and Krishna climbed up and he killed the duck. And the parents of these little children are thinking that these kids, we don't know what they do. Maybe they go in the pastures, they go far away from the Vrindavan, and they go in the forest. Maybe they build a duck or something, and then Krishna just destroyed, like a figure, like a mannequin types. So, but the cowherd friends, they're so excited to find out what is there in it now, today. So that day, when the next day after Krishna had killed Bakasura, all the cowherd friends came and they started going for Gocharan. So what is going to happen today? The next day, who came? Aghasura came. And Aghasura, when he came, he first disguised himself like a big snake, and he opened his mouth, and he looked like a very scenic, beautiful spot. And all the cowherd boys were like, wow, that looks like, we never been there. It looks like a nice, beautiful, scenic cave. Krishna, let's go find out what is there. Let's go. So here, our scriptures, even Srimad Bhagavatam describes, the cowherd boy started going inside the mouth of the demon, thinking that to be a cave. So many cowherd boys already entered. But the innermost circle, Krishna's the closest friends, they were still with Krishna. They also started to follow all the cowherd boys. And when they were going closer, they could understand that it's not just a cave. It's actually a demon disguised. So if it was us in that position, what we would do? We would turn around and we would say, okay, bye-bye. You go in the mouth of the death, but we are okay. We're going. But the funniest part, the best part of Srimad Bhagavatam is these little cowherd boys who are the closest friends of Krishna, while entering the mouth of that demon, they are praying, Asman kimatra grasitani vishta nayam tatha ched bhagavad vinakshati shanadane neti bakaryu shanmukham vikshodhasanta kartad nairyayu. So Srimad Bhagavatam says that those cowherd boys, even after knowing that it is a demon, even after smelling the bad breath that came from that cave, because that demon had killed so many humans and eaten so many other animals, still they thought that even if it is the mouth of the death personified, they looked at the beautiful face of Krishna. Because Krishna was at the back. Krishna was the last one to enter. When they saw the beautiful smiling face of Krishna, they thought, if Krishna is with us, who can harm us? Bakari Shanmukham. They saw the beautiful smiling face of the killer of Baka. Because Krishna had killed the demon Baka just yesterday. So there was a strong faith that Krishna will definitely protect. So all the devotees of Krishna, they have a faith that Krishna will always protect us. Rakshasi iti vishwase. So these cowherd boys, they are rather looking at that demon, the mouth, and they are laughing. And they are even giving high fives. And they are rather saying that, look at this stupid fool. Look at this stupid fool. He thinks he looks so cool, and he thinks that he has gotten us, he has fooled us. But Shanad, in a moment, Krishna is going to kill him. Just like Baka was killed. So the Tika, Prabodhananda Saraswati, he mentions, who can enter the mouths of the death personified? Nobody can enter the mouth of the death personified. Even if Krishna is right beside you, unless you have complete and firm faith that Krishna will protect. Unless you are one of the Mahatmas that are mentioned in today's verse. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. Because they have taken complete shelter of Krishna. They don't have any tinge of doubt about Krishna's protection. So rather they are giving claps and laughing, and they entered the mouth of that demon Agha. And of course we know Krishna enters the last and he kills the demon. So here the point is, when Srila Prabhupada, he was happily situated in Vrindavan, when he wanted to preach and fulfill the desire of his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he decided to come to West. And it also was not anything smaller than the mouth of Agasura. For a devotee, you know, coming to America, you know, like a hellish life, and living in, you know, these ghettos in the New York. So it was not at all easy. But Srila Prabhupada came smilingly. Srila Prabhupada came so easily because he had firm faith in Krishna's protection. So when we cultivate that firm faith that Krishna will protect us, and Krishna always protects the devotees who take risks on his behalf for his service. This is one of the Srila Prabhupada's very famous lecture in early days. Srila Prabhupada was requesting all the newcomers, the first 10 people who joined his call. Srila Prabhupada is saying that Krishna appreciates the most the devotees who risk the most on his behalf for his service. And when a devotee risks everything for Krishna, then Krishna must intervene to remove all obstacles from his risky service. So here the inconceivability of the personality of Godhead, that question is in hearts of every devotee. Even Srimati Radharani, she is thinking that I cannot understand Krishna. And Krishna also thinks that I cannot understand the depth of Sri Radha's love. That's why Krishna decides to come as Gauranga Mahaprabhu in the age of Kali. So somebody may ask that if Krishna comes and he understands the depth of Radharani's love, he wants to understand what sweetness she is tasting in me and what type of pleasure that she gets from my service. Okay, Krishna came, he lived like Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and then he went back. That means he understood everything and he went back. Then why does he come the next day of Brahma again? What is there to find out again? Why to come again and again? That Krishna doesn't get it in the first attempt or what? But the answer is, by the time Krishna has come and lived and understood about the glories of Sri Radharani, Krishna comes back, and then by that time, the glories of Radharani, the love has already increased. Her qualities have already increased. So Krishna is ever expanding. His great qualities are ever expanding. So that's why there is no possibility to understand the depth of that ocean of love called Krishna. Just like if there is a great businessman who has multiple businesses all over the globe, and he has so many companies, so many, you know, different factories, industries, and if someone wants to audit that person, find out how much worth he is, now, you know, whoever is doing that audit will take like 2 months to understand what is his net worth. And by the time they come to a figure, the 2 months have passed and his empire has grown. So again, there is no estimate to that. So in that sense, this inconceivability in the personality of Krishna actually increases the pleasure that a devotee relishes. Eternally and exponentially increases the spiritual bliss that a devotee experiences in the service of Krishna. Because Krishna's qualities are ever expanding, and the devotee who is serving Krishna, he is ever finding newer and newer joys. So just like our Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he explains that while serving Srila Prabhupada, there was never a dull moment. And he always explains in his new book, Chasing Rhinos, he says, whenever I walked and about to open the door to Srila Prabhupada's room, you know, and Prabhupada is inside, you know, behind the door, whenever I'm about to open the door, I always had my heart in my mouth. And there was tingling in my blood. And there was unlimited excitement, knowing that what Prabhupada is going to throw at me as a challenge today. What Prabhupada is going to give me as a surprise. Because Prabhupada was so adventurous. Prabhupada, like we said, he always encouraged the disciples to take risks for Krishna's service. So, Shyam Sundar Prabhu says that there was always so much excitement. As soon as I opened the door, Prabhupada, I'm going to see the beautiful smiling face of Prabhupada and he's going to throw a new adventure at me. Like one time, Prabhupada said, let's go to Russia. In those days, you know, such a strong... It was impossible to go to Russia, especially as a devotees. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu said, it is impossible. Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So everything is possible. So Prabhupada still went. He stayed for 3 days in a hotel. And he just met one person in Russia. Only one person. That's all he could do. But that one person, he was cultivated. And now Russia is like a huge Krishna consciousness, a big temple, so many devotees just came just from that one visit. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu always says that with Prabhupada, just like Krishna is jolly and Krishna is full of adventures, every moment with Krishna is a new adventure, just like the cowherd boys are always so excited to go and meet Krishna. The same way all the disciples of Prabhupada were so excited, so eager to meet Prabhupada and to serve Prabhupada. So that should be our intention. That should be the enthusiasm level we should aspire for from all the great devotees, especially we have so many Prabhupada disciples here. And if we get that enthusiasm, then Krishna becomes easily attracted. Krishna becomes very easily understandable. Like the verse that we quoted, Tamaksharam Brahma Paramparesham. In the last line of that verse, Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful statement. He says that when a devotee is attached to Krishna consciousness and when he is constantly remembering the lotus feet of Krishna, for such a devotee, he can completely understand Krishna. It's so easy to understand Krishna. And for such a devotee, Krishna is never lost. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Any question we can take? Want to ask a question? Okay, one question. You can tell me. I'll repeat. Tell me. Okay, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he knows everything and everyone, the past, future, present. But at the same time, it appears that Krishna, in order to enjoy, he doesn't know. So that answer is very nicely given by Srila Prabhupada. He quotes some acharyas and he mentions that sometimes while playing with children, the father voluntarily closes his eyes just to play and enjoy with his kids, his children. But that doesn't mean the father is blind. The father knows, he's aware of everything, you know, where he is and where his children are, and he knows everything about the house and everything. And he's much, much mature. But voluntarily, in order to enjoy, he decides to close the eyes. But, you know, this example is very crude, but if we understand in Krishna's case, he, in order to enjoy the rasa, he himself puts himself in the internal potency. That's why he surrenders to the internal energy, and then that's also called the Leela Shakti. So the Leela can happen only because of that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.